and took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Well, welcome back to yet another, in the unfolding life and ministry of Glorious Day. This is Pastor David, and I'm with
Pastor Barry.
I have to say, I've been saying this every episode, but since you came back, but it's just so great to be back together again.
Together again. Yes.
Yeah, let's not sing because we'll turn people off.
Yeah, they'll switch stations. Okay.
They won't listen to us. Anyway, so our theme tonight, and this is a long one, so listen hard. Listen with both ears. Believers who are more mature in their faith need to lift up those who are not.
Ooh.
And this is not really ministry within the church, ministering to each other in the body of Christ. And this is very, very important, especially today.
Right.
And so my brother Barry, who read our reading for tonight and immediately laid claim to it. You know, we kind of do this. We just
want
the spirit.
That one. You can have that one.
He wants that one. But so would you share? It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 through 16.
And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, the word of the Lord.
Amen. Praise God.
I like that last one, rejoice always.
Yeah, well, we should be.
We should be. I mean, how can you show enthusiasm and joy if you just sound like this all the time and rah, you know? That's not rejoicing.
No, it's not. But, you know, what Paul writes in the context of this, it's a call to the body of Christ that to be willing, you know, be led by the Spirit, even anointed, to be this kind of person for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Because we're not always going to be rejoicing. Right?
And there's a responsibility that comes with evangelizing. There's a responsibility that comes with pastoring and ministering. And you got to do that with your eyes open. It's not easy. You spot someone in your congregation that's quietly suffering or maybe acting out. And it's like being a parent. You know when something's going on with one of your kids. And they're always shocked when you find out. But you know your sheep. You know your people, and it's your job to continue to bring them along. You know, it really is like herding sheep all toward the gate of paradise.
Yes.
And sometimes the sheep, you know, slow down or they trip or they fall or they get dirty and they stink, whatever it is. And yet you're the shepherd. You're the one continuing to push everybody forward to their eternal life.
Although, and that's certainly true, the role of the pastor. You've unpacked that fairly well, but keep in mind, you know, we're talking about the whole body. So the whole body is led by senior pastor and maybe other associate pastors, but we're all to be drawn up into an understanding of this call on us because Paul is writing to everybody in the church. He's got people he picked to be leaders, you know, and they've been a blessing to the body. But everybody has a role. Now, we do this in concert with the Spirit.
Right.
Because we're not telling people to arbitrarily get it in their head that they're supposed to go to a brother or sister who is acting out or clearly sinning or doing anything that indicates that they are in need of guidance and wisdom and pastoral care, that because I've had people do that in my, and I'll speak in my role as a pastor, and they've done it on their own, and it has not worked out well.
Ah.
So there is, and I guess to say, I'm not going to start laying out guidelines, but, you know, we have to sort of say, okay, Lord, I see this happening. How should I respond? Now, in some cases, you're in fellowship with this person, and God may just say, go and come alongside them and point out what you're seeing, you know, and it's part of good church discipline in the sense that, you know, if you see someone, whatever their sin is, that's upsetting.
But you're actually giving them the truth in love.
Speaking mm-hmm. the truth in love. Speaking Ephesians in love. Chapter 4, mm-hmm. in the middle of that chapter. Sometimes you need to take that to your pastor.
Right.
Because your pastor probably knows more about that person than you do.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you think you know, and may you know them very, maybe close to them, it may be that what they're doing, the pastor is already aware of, and you know, without getting breaking confidences, maybe he can just say, well, thank you for that. I will reach out to them.
Okay.
You know, but yeah. There's sometimes where God has given us a sort of license and authority to carry some things to a fellow congregant, if you will, a mm-hmm. fellow member of the body of Christ, just to say, I don't know if you know this, but what you said or did was very hurtful, and especially if it's with you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know. And where you don't have to carry everything to the pastor, because let's face it, pastor is one among many. And, you know, some people do that automatically, and the poor pastor, you know, well, you know, maybe they're good about saying, you know, why don't you do that? You know, mm-hmm. put it back on you, in which case, say, I didn't want that. I just wanted you to do that. You
well,
know?
Now they've become one of the faint-hearted, and you've got to encourage
right.
them.
So all of this has to be managed by the Spirit.
Right.
And believe me, as pastors, we recognize there are those things that are going on in the congregations we serve, people we're called to, and it's a balancing act for the pastors, too. We respect our people, and it's, you know, it's going to be a work of the Spirit for all of these things to get managed. But it may be simply on a one-on-one basis that if someone that you know, and maybe they stepped on your toes or said something that was hurtful, those things we can take to them, and we can help them out. But it's actually more, it's on a larger frame than just people hurting each other.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause we're people, you know, and I don't care how much we love each other, we're human beings.
Mm-hmm.
We do sometimes say or do things that are really wrong.
And not even know it.
Not even know it.
Unless someone tells us. I mean, I've done that.
And those things, you know, I would encourage people to, as a pastor, to manage, to go to those people in love and say, look, this hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you didn't intend it.
Right.
But I want you to know that's what happened. And then it's your job to say, you know, and I'm going to forgive you for that. You know, you didn't intend to do it, but I'm going to forgive you. On the other hand, we have to be big enough and mature enough to say, I think you really meant it, but I'm going to forgive you anyway. Because, you know, what you did was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You may have known it was wrong. We can talk about it and dialogue, and then maybe in this we'll see something differently, but I got to forgive you.
And right then and there, you're not giving anybody evil for evil. You're not repaying
right.
them that way. And
right.
that's important, because people, unless it's in an isolated room, people are watching, people are listening.
Yep.
And, you know, sometimes people will leave a church if people are arguing and hurting each other right in front of them, particularly mm-hmm. if they're a new Christian. You know, we talk about, you know, holding these people, we're mature. I'm 68 and David's
73. I'm still 73.
Yeah.
I'm a little older than the last program.
But, you know, there is a responsibility, because not only for the you know, those who are in trouble, but those who are just now putting their toe in the water, baby Christians,
mm.
you know, we've got to be careful around them, because it's so easy for them to be discouraged,
yeah,
to be disenchanted, and maybe even walk away. You got to nurture them.
Yes. Yeah, and our job, if we're mature, more mature,
mm-hmm.
is really to be looking at, well, as the Spirit will guide us, but in our own congregation,
mm-hmm.
looking for those who are struggling.
Mm-hmm.
and, you know, reach out to them or send, you know, maybe it's not our role, but we might be led to find someone that knows them better or whatever, but to lift them up. You know, when we see Paul writes about, these are the things that he wants the church in Thessalonica especially to be aware of, is idleness, you know, and idleness is, what did I say, the idle mind is a devil's playground.
Yes.
Idle hands are a devil's playground. It's like that, yes. And so, but, you know, the faint-hearted, we have a lot of those people today. Help the weak. How weak? Well, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Be patient with them all, but as we're patient with them and let God minister through us, help them. And a lot of these people are going to, and I'm speaking, I sit in a, from a pastoral role, but you have to hear, same thing applies to you, wherever you are in the pew, is that some of these people are just going to upset the dickens out of you. The first thing that's going to happen is, you know, you're going to try to figure out either A, how to avoid them, B, how to get them out of the church, and God forbid you think, well, maybe someone will run them over in the parking lot, you know, and I won't have to deal with them anymore. That's really not wrong. I don't we're not recommending this.
No, that's not.
But the point
is how you handle it.
that we know sometimes these people can really set us off, and that's not the response that God wants us to have.
I had an experience like that in the middle of service, David. Two young ladies, professionals, hardworking women, and they broke out in a verbal argument right in the middle of the sermon.
We
had to put them on hold, you know, but I found out that the one had been the supervisor of the other one and had fired her. And I said, the beauty of this is that you still both came to church.
Yeah.
We had to look at the upside here. Mm-hmm. And it was a tough one to negotiate, because also now everybody in that church wanted to know what happened.
Right.
Ooh, now we have the rumor mill, right?
Oh, yeah.
Particularly, I had two new Christians at that point, and they were watching to see how we worked this out. We worked it out through prayer. We got some prayer warriors around them, put our hands on their shoulders and their heads, and we prayed for them. They both had a breakdown. They both cried. As far as I know, they're still best friends. They just don't work together anymore.
Mm.
And they can actually laugh about it now.
Wow, that's healing.
That is healed. You know, remember when you fired me? Oh, that was so funny.
Yeah, but you point out something that's critical that needs to happen in the church. And we, folks, we know that there are people who hold grudges. People get angry at other people in the church. But those moments point to areas of need. People are needy, and they all need ministry. Holy Spirit ministry to go into the heart of those issues.
Mm-hmm.
God wants to love them into healing. And guess who may be called to do that? Yeah, you say, well, I'll call the pastor. All right, but maybe you're the one boots on the ground right there. A pastor may not be there.
I tell my residents in the nursing home every day, I said, listen, I leave here a certain time of the day and I'm not here. Mm. So all of you, when I walk out that door, are up. You're a priest, you're a pastor, you're whatever you want to be. It's your job. God commissioned you. I just, you know, I have the title, but we're all equal here, and that each and every one of you have a responsibility. And that's important for people to know. I don't care how old you are. I don't care your education, if it's nil or whatever is precluding you from standing up and being that person in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
To take a problem on, or just to reach out. You know, the other program we're talking about, reaching out to people that are unlovable.
Yeah.
In some of these scenarios, they are unlovable because they're very angry.
Oh, yeah. Who wants to be around someone that's angry? Raise your hand.
Yeah.
You know,
anybody, don't if you're driving, but I know. Not me.
No, but there's, and I had, I think I shared this early on in one of our sessions, but it's a story. It was way before I was ordained, but it was God putting me in a position to experience this very thing and how to deal with it. And mm-hmm. it was when I was in college for my AA degree. And all of us, there was a bunch of us that would gather at a restaurant that was popular in that day. Lums, if anyone knows Lums.
Oh, I like
they're
Lums.
Gone now, sadly. But
there was hot dogs steamed in beer.
Yeah. Yeah, which back then was before I was, before I was delivered from alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I would get steamed in beer, too. but that's thank God, that's over. But at any rate, and so, in a way, you know, our group was like a church.
Hmm.
You know, none of us were believers then. I was not saved at that point. This was way back. But God was still working with me and giving me life circumstances that would teach me later.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I do believe that the Spirit of God was there guiding me even then. So I had gone to this restaurant midday. I think it was on a Saturday. They had a new waitress.
Mm, okay.
And I'll say server. I think waitress is not
kind of a sexist thing now.
But anyway, server, because that's what they do. And she came up to take my order, and she was very, very, I mean, you could tell there was something going on with her. She wasn't friendly. She had a frown on her face. She was, you know, very clipped in her, you know, what do you want? You know.
Oh, yeah.
And there was the other folks that knew us. Now, see, I came in the middle of the day. We were normally coming in late after class in the evening. And I was taken aback by that.
Hmm.
In fact, I took it very personally.
Oh.
Who is this woman? You know, what right does she have to treat me this way? I mean, I was getting indignant.
Oh.
And so, and I was thinking, you know, she's, this is horrible, you know, but it was very arrogant, but say, this woman cannot be here because she'll come wait on us when all my crew is here, and we don't deserve that attitude, right? Think about where it's coming from.
Yeah.
Oh, man, and so I was thinking, already I'm thinking, how can I get them to get rid of this woman?
Oh, wow.
Literally, I'm thinking, you know.
The Lord did change you.
Well, the Lord, yeah.
Wow.
You know, but I admit to that, and it was wrong, but while I'm waiting for her to come back with my food,
mm-hmm.
and again, I wasn't saved then, but God was speaking to me. And what I heard being said was, you can't possibly think that this woman is intentionally trying to make your life miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Can't you notice? Don't you notice something's wrong?
Mm.
And that, and there was like a change of heart, which I would later recognize was a pastoral gift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I got ordained. But so when the food came, it was delivered, and I said, her hand was on the plate, right? I just touched her hand and said, I'm sorry. I said, I have no idea. I said, you just seem to be very troubled. And I'm sorry that you're troubled. It's none of my business. But I just want you to know that I'm sensing, you know, that you have a need.
Yeah.
And anyway, I'm just sorry for whatever you're going through, because I don't think you're this kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
All right? That turned everything around. She actually sat down across from me. I was alone at this table. Sat down across from me and folded her hands and told me her story.
Oh.
That she was just divorced.
Mm-hmm.
She was going through a divorce. He was the breadwinner. It was apparently a very acrimonious situation. He was, sounded like he was an abuser type.
Mm-hmm.
But she had to go back to work. They had kids at home.
Oh, boy.
You know, he was very difficult. He'd left the family home, but he was not providing any money. And here she was at which would then have been, you know, how they pay servers very poorly.
Well, back then, it could have been a dollar an hour or
Something. Yeah, this was like 1968, late 60s. Mm. And she poured out her heart to me. And I was just like, whoa, you know.
And what do I do with this?
But just to listen. To listen, and God had given me even then a pastoral gift. So the end of that, she didn't obviously couldn't stay there very long. She had tables to, but it changed her. She found someone that listened to her and understood enough to offer her comfort.
Well, pre-ordained and post-ordained, you do the same thing.
Yeah.
You let her speak. And vent, and gently guide if you have, you know, some kind of advice for her.
Yeah,
or a better job for her.
Well, I think she probably moved on, but she had more peace. And then the next time we got in with a group and she was there, she was all smiles.
Oh, cool.
She came up to our table and she was so friendly, and we all loved on her. I think I'd mentioned quietly, privately, what she was going through, but the point is. Point is that now, getting back to our role as mature Christians in our own church, is if we're called to reach out to someone who is acting out, who is, you know, angry, upset, anxious, whatever, and their behavior is bothersome, there's something going on behind that. That if God is sending you there, then He is going to ask you, or He's telling you, to go to them and say, you know, what is that? This can't be the real you. It seems like you're hurting. I don't want to break, you know, I don't want to get into your stuff, you know.
Right.
But I just sense that you're going through something, and if I can be of any help. And often people will, some won't. But what you've done is you've come out to them in love. They may not open up to you then, but somebody else, or they may come back to you later.
You might have even given a little piece of quiet hope.
Yeah.
That, you know, maybe not everybody in the world is mean or controlling or whatever. Yeah.
So you don't repay, because I've seen, and I've done it myself, I have to admit, both preordained, postordained. You get me in the bad mood, you know, you get me tired. What's that? HALT. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired, that acronym. Any of those things, and I might not be the Christian I need to be, you know, literally. And I've had to repent of a lot of things, but. You know, don't repay evil for evil. And some people are going to be coming from that standpoint. But our love.
Well, you almost did in that restaurant.
Yeah, yeah, I almost.
You almost.
Because I knew the manager.
That. Yeah, you could have actually gotten very angry.
I mean, we were kind of buds.
Yeah.
Could have gotten him quiet and say, where did you get that woman? You know, I mean, she's horrible. She's going to ruin your business. You know, the entire firm will go bankrupt. No, but I didn't. It turned it around. She became a very good friend of ours, actually.
You ever wonder the rest of the story? I know that was a Paul Harvey expression, but the rest of the story. When I get to heaven, I want to seek out and find people that have gone through stuff.
Yeah.
But then I lost contact, or maybe there was no, it was an acquaintance, whatnot. I just want to know the rest of the story. Were they healed? Did they find their way to the cross?
Yeah.
Obviously they did, if I'm talking to them in heaven. But I want to hear the rest of the story. Sometimes we don't see that as members of the body of Christ, where we stand up, help folks, guide folks, comfort them, and then you lose track over the years. You always wonder what happened.
Well, we might have an opportunity. I don't know.
I don't know.
That'd be cool if it did, you know. But again, the best way to have, if we're able to do that in heaven, is to do that here with people whom we are, because of our mature Christianity, we can help them along the way by giving them a loving bridge to cross to get rid of by sharing with us or other caring people. And then in prayer, because what's the next thing if somebody says, now back then, that woman, I would have now, I'd pray for her. You mind if I pray for you? Wouldn't force it on her, but we then say, yeah, let's go to God. And that opens up other doors of love and grace. But that's what we're supposed to do. I mean, so if you're listening and you have some people that in your own congregation that every time you see them, you either want to run away or throw something at them, ask God, am I the one Should I cross this bridge in love? Now, they may, you know, they may not like you coming to them in love because they're so burdened by the darkness, you know, that they don't want any light to shine. Strange as that may sound, some people are that way.
But then they have a moment of reflection where they realize, wait a minute, that person that I gave a hard time to is coming to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another teachable moment, another time to emulate Christ.
Reach out to them. Because their hearts, you know, God wants to heal people, and they're in your own church. And if your church has a bunch of hurting people, they're not going to be as effective as the body of Christ.
True.
But God wants to heal them. He knows they need help. Mm-hmm. And it's going to happen mostly within your body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be one of those people that's going to be helpful.
Amen, brother.
That's so important, brother. Now, we see it from pastoral view. You know, that's the lens we look at. But God has given pastoral gifts to people in the congregation. We can't do it all.
I remember the days sitting in a pew as a teenager and a 20-something and a 30-something, and same deal. In fact, we had a wonderful pastor who, like you were saying before, you do it.
Yeah.
You know, that guy over there was giving me a hard time at the church picnic. What about, you go to him.
Yeah.
He might hit me. Well, he's not going to hit you. And I would go to him, and it's funny because it shocks the person. They don't see it coming. Why is this guy putting his hand out in front of me to shake my hand?
Yeah, well, yeah. It is.
Of all the people, I gave him a hard time.
What is it? Somewhere in the first chapter of Romans where Paul says, love your enemies, it's like heaping burning coals on their head.
That's right.
which he means is that enemies, if you're an enemy, if he's an enemy, he's going to come at you out of enmity, right? Mm-hmm. He's going to be angry, whatever. You may not have done anything, but you're going to get it, right? And when they throw that at you, if you come back in love, say and say something to deflect that. Mm-hmm. Instead of yelling at him in a higher tone or trying to find nasty things to say, just say, oh, I'm sorry you're feeling bad.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know it must be hurtful for you right mm-hmm. now to be that angry, you know, and maybe not even to know why you're angry, but, you know, God loves you, and you may not believe this, but I kind of love you too because I see you're hurting, and I don't want you to hurt.
Can we pray together? Because once you pray together, the healing, it begins.
Speaking of praying, you know what?
What?
We're out of time.
How did you do that, David?
I've got these big numbers on this TV screen I'm looking at, and it says, you're about out of time. So I guess we have to say goodbye, and God bless.
And we love you, and pray, pray, pray.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word.
That we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move.
And his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.